you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org. Live from deep in the heart of Texas, this is Soldier of Patriotism with your host, the renegade Republican, the advocate of Americanism, the conscience of conservatism, the soldier of patriotism himself, Michael B.
A good Sunday afternoon to you all, princes and princesses of patriotism. It is about 2 minutes after the top of the hour. It's September the 22nd, Sunday. This is Soldier of Patriotism. I am your host, Michael B. And I'm going to start off today with a little editorial I wrote actually last year. Thought I'd share with y'all again today because it is September. We're about almost through with September. You know, Texas, unlike other states, has a history in which we not only celebrate the fight for independence from tyranny and our shared American history, but we celebrate a history in which the grandchildren of those American patriots themselves fought for independence from tyranny here in Texas. As many of you who follow my rants and diatribes of this current administration and the direction that we find our country in know, I'm a history buff and a proud son of the Republic of Texas. Just as I find inspiration in those writings of Madison, Adams, Jefferson, and the like, so too do I find inspiration and motivation in the writings of Houston, Jones, Austin, and many other Texas founding fathers that include my fourth great-grandfather, General George Whitfield Terrell. In thinking about the month of September and our shared histories, that is, an American and a Texan that I'm so proud of, I have concluded a few lines of thoughts and draw inspiration and motivation from a particular history that I hope will once again serve to show that under overwhelming odds, righteousness can overcome, good can prevail over evil, liberty can lay waste to tyranny, and that it is the very blood that coursed through our veins that makes us the fighters that we're born to be. Yet at the same time, a history that proves we must always stay vigilant. For as long as humankind exists, liberty and tyranny will forever be at war. With this month behind us, we have celebrated, or not celebrated, we have remembered September 11th, in which 3,000 of our fellow souls, or Americans, lost their lives. We also celebrated the first year of, we remembered the first year anniversary of Benghazi. We Americans saw attacks, all over the place, continuing still to this day. We have a president that leads from behind, and that I find an insult to the very foundation upon which our founding fathers built this country. So, in thinking about September and the Mexican invasions of 1842 and all that's happened in September throughout the years of American and Texas history, I thought that I would take a moment to remember September 11th, 1842, a Mexican army of 12,000 led by General Adrian Wall once again captured San Antonio. As a single month goes in the annals of history, September has seen the September the 11th, September the 11th, 2012. It has seen the First Continental Congress Assembly in Philadelphia on September 5th, 1774. September also saw the Treaty of Paris signed on September 3rd, 1783 by John Adams, Ben Franklin, and John Jay, formally ending the American Revolution War between the British and the United States, as well as the signing by 56 patriots in that most treasured document, our Constitution, on September 17th, 1787 at the Constitutional Convention. The first of our founding fathers to sign being Patriot John Hancock, who penned his name so large in letters, he allegedly quipped that he wrote it so large so that King George could read it without his glasses. It saw Frederick Douglass begin his escape from slavery on September 3rd in 1838, as well as 9 African-American students enrolled at Central High School in Little Rock, Arkansas, that escalated into the Little Rock crisis that gave cause to President Eisenhower to send the 101st Airborne on September 24th, 57. It saw the treaty at Bird's Fort here in Texas, penned by my fourth great-grandfather with the indigenous nations of the Delaware, Chickasaw, Waco, Tawakani, the Keechee, Caddo, Atadanka, the Ioni, Biloxi, and Cherokees. Yet it saw the capture of Geronimo in September of 1886. This is just but a small example of some of the history that our country has seen when summer's heat turns to autumn's chill. It is a history full of many great accomplishments and of many horrible failures. It is a history that fought tyranny and found freedom, freed slaves, yet murders its unborn. But it's our history, and it should serve as an ever-vigilant reminder that freedom is fragile and carries with it responsibility. Our history is also a reminder that overwhelming odds can be overcome. I think, for me, one of the greatest contrasts of our September's history is during the War of 1812. The British once again tried to impose their brand of tyranny on the United States, and from September 13th through the 14th in 1814, the British Navy bombarded Fort McHenry, at which time an American lawyer, author, and poet penned a poem that holds the most coveted spot in my heart for the country I love. "Oh, say, can you see, by the dawn's early light," he wrote, "what so proudly we held at the twilight's last gleaming? Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, or the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming? And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?" That's just the first stanza. I won't bore you go through reading the whole thing, as I'm not that good of a reader. But, I thought that significant. In light of this last week, especially Friday, the House of Representatives, under the guidance of Speaker Boehner, much to my surprise, 230 to 189, decided to stand on the side of freedom, what's right, and they passed a continuing resolution that funds the government, yet defunds Obamacare. Now it goes to the Senate this week. What will the Senate do? We already know that Harry Reid has said it's dead on arrival. I've got a clip from Senator Ted Cruz from this morning on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace. And we're going to take about 11 minutes here because it's an 11-minute clip. But it's a very good listen. I ask you to listen to it and listen because Ted Cruz is telling us the tack we need to take, the approach we need to go at. We're not shutting down the government. We've passed a continuing resolution, and if the Senate can get it done and put it back in the hands of the Democrats, it'll be they who shut down the government. Here's Senator Cruz.
Hello again from Fox News in Washington. Well, the clock is ticking. The government shuts down in just 8 days unless Congress agrees on a bill to fund federal agencies. On Friday, the House passed a measure to keep the government going till mid-December, but they also cut off funding for Obamacare, and as you just heard, Majority Leader Harry Reid says that is dead in the Senate. Joining me now from Houston, Senator Ted Cruz, who is leading the drive for this confrontation. Senator, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
Thank you, Chris. It's great to be with you this morning.
You say, and we just played a clip of it, you'll do whatever you can, including a talking filibuster, to block consideration of the bill that the House just passed. The problem is that you would be blocking a bill which you actually support, which would fund the government but defund Obamacare. So how are you going to get other Republican senators on board to block a bill that you support?
Well, let's be clear. Last week's vote was a tremendous victory. Just a few weeks ago, no pundit in Washington thought it was possible we would see the vote we saw on Friday. Last week, the House of Representatives voted to defund Obamacare, and now next week, as you note, the fight moves to the Senate. And I think next week is a time for party unity. I think next week, all Senate Republicans, I hope, should come together and support the House bill. In my view, Senate Republicans should stand united to stop Harry Reid from changing the House bill, and in particular, from inserting the funding from Obamacare with 51 votes. That's going to be the fight, is procedurally whether he's able to use a straight party line vote, use just Democrats to put Obamacare back. And you know what? If Senate Republicans stand together, we can stop Harry Reid from doing
that. Well, I'm confused. Are you going to block consideration of the bill? Basically, what is the first issue is, are you going to allow consideration of the bill? And you can filibuster that. After, if you lose that, then a simple majority could take out Obamacare. So are you going to allow consideration of the bill, have an up or down vote on defunding Obamacare, or are you going to block them from even taking up a bill which you support?
Well, the first order of business is going to be to ask Harry Reid if he will agree to allow amendments to be subject to a 60-vote threshold. And that's typical in the Senate. We have a lot of amendments that are subject to 60-vote thresholds. Now, in all likelihood, he's going to say no, because he wants to use brute political power to force Obamacare funding through with just Democrats, exactly the same way he passed the bill 3 years ago. Now, if he does that, then Senate Republicans have the tool that we always use when the majority leader is abusing his power, which is we can deny cloture. We can filibuster and say, we will not allow you to add the funding back for Obamacare with just 51 votes.
Sir, if I may, you say that this is brute political power. Other times you've said it's a procedural gimmick. It's Senate Rule 22, which has been around for years. It's part of the Senate rules, and it says after you end, you allow debate, after you take cloture, that you can pass an amendment by a simple majority. That's the rule.
Chris, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You're right. That is one rule. But there is another rule that says it takes 60 votes to get cloture. And that's the reason the Senate generally, on controversial votes, we work out an agreement for it to be subject to a 60-vote threshold, because the minority, if the majority is going to run the minority over with a train, the minority has the ability to stop them. And so if Harry Reid says, you know what, I'm going to run the Republicans over, I'm going to ignore the bill passed by the House of Representatives, I'm going to ignore the will of the people, and I'm going to do this on a 51-vote threshold, then from my mind, it should be an easy decision for Senate Republicans to stand united and to support House Republicans. And I'll tell you, any vote for cloture, any vote to allow Harry Reid to add funding for Obamacare with just a 51-vote threshold, a vote for cloture is a vote for Obamacare. And I think Senate Republicans are going to stand side by side with Speaker Boehner and House Republicans, listening to the people and stopping this train wreck that is Obamacare.
Okay, right, a couple of quick questions. First of all, you need 41 votes. You're one vote. You need 40 other Republican senators to go with you to block consideration of the House bill in the Senate. How many votes do you have right now, Senator?
Well, we don't know right now, and this week will determine. Look, this has been a fast-moving target. You know, just a few weeks ago, we didn't have anywhere near the votes we needed in the House or in the Senate. And my view all along was this was going to be a long journey. This was going to be multiple stages. Stage one was unify the American people, and we've seen nearly 1.6 million Americans sign a national petition at don'tfundit.com and call their representatives saying, stop Obamacare. Stage two was what happened on Friday, the House voting to defund Obamacare. Stage three is next week, where Senate Republicans, it's now our turn to unify, to stand together with House Republicans. And then the next step, look, this may end up going back to the House, and I hope and fully believe the House will continue the fight. And if we take this to the American people, I believe the next step after that is starting to get red state Democrats, starting to get, if you're a Mark Pryor, if you're a Mary Landrieu, running for re-election in Arkansas and Louisiana, and you start to get 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, 50,000 calls from your constituents, suddenly it changes the calculus entirely. But, Chris, that won't happen until we unify Republicans.
All right, but
Senate.
Senator, here's the question everyone on both sides is asking in Washington, which is, what's your end game? Let's say that you block consideration of any bill in the Senate, or let's say that you lose and The bill goes into the Senate, and they take out Obamacare, and they send it back to the House. What's your end game? Because the government is going to shut down a week from Monday.
Well, I don't want the government to shut down. The American people don't want the government to shut down. And I don't think Harry Reid and President Obama should shut down the government. Listen, if that happens, if Harry Reid kills this bill in the Senate, I think the House should hold its ground and should begin passing smaller continuing resolutions one department at a time. It should start with a continuing resolution focused on the military. Fund the military, send it over. And let's see if Harry Reid is willing to shut down the military just because he wants to force Obamacare on the American people. I think that would be a very perilous decision for Harry Reid to make. And the House can keep driving this. Look, the House is the only body where Republicans have a majority. And so the House has to lead on this. And I view my job and Mike Lee's job as providing as much support, as much air cover as we can for the House to stand up and lead. And I commend them for having done that last week.
Senator, I think it's fair to say that you have ticked off a whole bunch of your fellow Republicans who feel that you have gotten them into this fight without an end game, without a strategy. I want to put some of their criticisms they've won on the record on the screen. Congressman Tim Griffin of Arkansas wrote, "So far, Senate Republicans are good at getting Facebook likes and town halls, not much else. Do something." Republican Congressman Pete King of New York calls you a fraud. If he can deliver on this, fine. If he can't, he should keep quiet from now on, and we shouldn't listen to him. And Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee sent this. "I didn't go to Harvard or Princeton," which you did, "but I can count." Republicans, especially in the House, say that you are pushing them into a fight that you don't know how to finish. Senator?
Well, look, there are lots of folks in Washington that can choose to throw rocks. And I'm not going to reciprocate. I'm not going to do likewise. Listen, let me tell you about a broader problem. A broader problem is we have got career politicians in both parties in Washington who aren't listening to the American people. I spent the entire month of August traveling Texas, traveling the country, speaking to the people. And the American people are hurting because Obamacare isn't working. It's killing jobs. It's driving up their health insurance rates. It's causing them to be pushed into part-time work. It's causing them to lose their health insurance. And I'll tell you why an awful lot of people in Washington are unhappy, because they're hearing from their constituents in overwhelming numbers that their constituents are saying, stand up and fight, stand up for principle, don't have an exception for Congress and big corporations that doesn't apply to the American people.
Senator, I want to pick up on that. Democrats feel that you have given them the political high ground in all this. I want to play what President Obama said last night to the Congressional Black Caucus.
You'd be willing to shut down the government and potentially default for the first time in United States history because it bothers you so much that we're actually going to make sure that everybody has affordable health care.
Senator, you're completely right. According to all the polls, people don't like Obamacare. On the other hand, by an even wider margin, people don't want to shut down the government to have this fight. In fact, there's a new Republican poll out late last week, a Republican poll, Winston Group, 71-23. Don't shut down the government over this.
Well, it depends how the poll is phrased. And there are a lot of polls out there. Rasmussen just last week said a majority of Americans now want Obamacare defunded. You know what's interesting? Last week, Wall Street Journal, for the first time in years, found Republicans are leading on health care. Americans trust Republicans more than Democrats on health care. And Chris, let me suggest the whole reason why is because we've been standing up leading the fight to defund Obamacare. Voters have learned enough talk from Washington, stand up and do it. And listen, all you have to do is get out of Washington, D.C. and go listen to the American people. You talk to small businesses that are laying people off. You talk to people that are struggling for jobs and finding their hours forcibly reduced to 29 hours a week. And by the way, the people who are hurting, I hear from my constituents every single day, women with pre-existing conditions who are losing their health care because of Obamacare. Their employers are dropping their health insurance
coverage. Senator, I hate to interrupt. We're almost out of time. I just want to ask you one direct question. You have a lot of valid criticisms of Obamacare. We're going to ask Senator McCaskill in the next segment about those. But if it comes down, if the Senate ping-pongs this back to the House and it's a question, keep going on the fight about Obamacare or shut down the government, what's your position? Keep the government going or keep fighting about Obamacare?
I believe we should stand our ground, and I don't think Harry Reid and Barack Obama should shut down the federal government. Look, the House voted last week to fund the federal government. If Harry Reid kills that, Harry Reid is responsible for shutting down the government, and he should listen to the American people, open the government, fund the government, but don't fund Obamacare because it's hurting the American people. It's not working. That's why the unions want out. That's why Harry Reid and Senator McCaskill and Senate Democrats want out, is because it's not working.
Senator, we're going to talk about all of that with Senator McCaskill in the next segment. I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll stay on top of the battle of the budget. Should be interesting.
Thank you, Chris.
Up next, Syria.
Did you catch all that, Patriots? Did you catch the talking points? Great talking points. This is how we're going to have to move the battle forward. By the way, I was just checking into the chat room. You heard something there about Bob Corker and our good friends in Tennessee. They're fighting a battle. Of course, this year they're hopefully going to get rid of Lamar Alexander and replace him with Joe Carr. Let's cross our fingers and work towards doing that. JoeCarr.com, I believe, is the website. And we're going to go a little bit into grassroots activism and supporting folks and whatnot here as we get into the show. But I'm up against a soft break here. I've went a little long with that interview from Ted Cruz. But I had to play that 11-minute segment because we need to discuss our battle plans. This is a soldier of patriotism. I'm Michael B. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Now, here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
All right, and it is 25 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Soldier of Patriotism on the Conservative Nation Media radio site. You can find us at conservativenationmedia.com as well as conservativenationradio.org. We are in a transition. We are still Conservative Nation Radio. We still are spreading the truth of American conservatism in ongoing dialogue with the American public. This is where America comes to win. So I want to appreciate all of you folks joining us this Sunday. I'm guessing there's a football game going on. We are getting to that time of the year where the crowd will probably be thinning down a little bit. It always happens during football. I can't say that I blame folks. I'd like to be watching football myself. Yet we have a country to save. So those of you that are tuned in today, those of you that are in the chat room, I appreciate you listening in. Be sure and check up my buddy, Bing Fisher. The link is in the chat room immediately following this show, American by Design. Great show. Bing is a hard fighting trooper, I got to tell you, as is everybody that we associate with. We started the show talking about the defund Obamacare thing that's taking shape, and I noted that Ted Cruz rocked the House. Well, after Fox News Sunday this morning, Senator Mike Lee was on, along with Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee and a couple of Democrats, and I made note of it in the chat room, and perhaps Brother Kirk cares to call in and discuss Marsha Blackburn a little bit. She rocked the House. Now, I know nothing about Marsha Blackburn, but I understand these Republicans who have evolved over the last few, quote-unquote, evolved. We've got several of them right here in North Texas. Congressman Burgess, Pete Sessions, the powerful House Rules Committee chairman, Pete Sessions, the man who, rather than have town halls this last August, went to Ireland, paid for by the Ripon Society and another lobbyist organization. And now my good friend Katrina Pearson is going to primary him, not just because of that, just because this is a man probably much like Marsha Blackburn, for all I know. I don't know. A man himself, Pete Sessions, who has quote-unquote evolved on this issue. He's heckled Ted Cruz. He said this defund it thing wouldn't work. Well, you know, we've gotten all kinds of flack from folks saying, you know, you can't do this, you can't do this. Well, guess what? We did it. We did it. The House, overwhelmingly, with minus one Republican whose name escapes me right now, passed a continuing resolution to fund the government, yet defund Obamacare. It goes to the Senate now. If Harry Reid, let's just say, as Ted Cruz says, a vote for cloture is a vote for Obamacare. The people who will shut down the government won't be us. It won't be the Republicans. We've got to take this battle, and we've got to take it straight to the American people. If they choose to take out the amendment to defund Obamacare, and we have a battle ahead of us, well, it's the Democrats who closed the government, not the Republicans. And we can't – they're going to try. We know they're going to try to change the conversation, to paint the picture a different way. But sometimes you just have to stand on principle. And these folks like Lamar Alexander and Bob Corker and Senator McCain, what a disappointment. The man just after the vote on Friday came out and said, we're not going to repeal, we're not going to replace Obamacare. Is the man too old? Does he just need to go? I think we all know the answer there. But look, I went into the soft break a little late, and I need to get back on schedule here, so I need to take my hard break real quick. We'll come out of that. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Please give us a call and get on. And, you know, this is where you can let your voice be heard. We'll be back in just about 2.5 minutes.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear. Look for FAST. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911 immediately. Know the sudden signs. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sammy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Color. I am a nightmare walking, psychopath talking, king of my jungle, just a gangster stalking, living life like a firecracker, quick as my fuse, vendetta to death, back the colors I choose, red or blue, cause of blood, it just don't matter.
All right, and it is 31 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Soldier of Patriotism with your host, Michael B. And the phone number 718-305-7176. I do have a couple of callers on the line. I'm going to bring in here shortly. I did this a little backwards. I'm sure if our president and general manager Duke Brooks was listening right now, he's probably going to send me to Huntsville. But let's just assume. Yeah. You know, hey, look, I like to live life on the edge. But you know, seriously, folks, let's assume that you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, and you're a conservative. And you love America just like we do, just like Brother Bing and Sister Barbara and Sister Brenda and Brother Duke and Brother Christopher Manti and some new hosts that we're going to be bringing on here in the next couple of weeks that I'm very excited about. You love your country just like all of us and your family, and you're unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Well, since that's the case, you're going to want to a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com, click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conversation, but join the conservative revolution where America always wins. Now, I would like to bring in Brother Kurt here. He caught me talking about Marsha Byrne. He could probably tell us a little bit more about her since he isn't a Republican GOP chair there in Henry County, Tennessee, good friend of mine I've known for a year and a half or so now, a man I look forward to speaking to on a weekly basis. Brother Kurt, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Michael. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing good. You know, Kurt, we've got an uphill battle here, and we've got, you know, you can enlighten us a little bit on Marsha Blackburn. I take it from your comment in the chat room, she's it was good she was right this morning. You know, we've got Congress people just like that here in Texas, of all places. Pete Sessions is one of them. He's establishment Republican. I guess some would call him a conservative. I'm quite disappointed in his behavior and in the way he's been speaking ill of the defunded movement. But we seem to be winning that battle. What have you to say on that, or Marsha Blackburn, or anything that you've got?
Well, okay, on Congressman Blackburn, or Congresswoman, if you're politically correct here, there's an old nursery rhyme. I'm not sure if I've got the words out right about this young lady that said that when she was good, she was very good, but when she was bad, she was very, very bad. I don't know if I've got that exactly right, but I think that applies to Ms. Blackburn there. she has done some good things, and she has done some very, very bad things. Now, her not being the congressperson from my district, I haven't been totally focused on her. I've got information stored here, there, and wherever on things that she's done. It's not in front of me right now, so I can't quote you specifics, but I can make a general statement that I can back up. And it goes back to what I said. You know, if the Heritage Foundation rates senators and congressmen on their voting record, you know,
mm-hmm.
if a given politician has a 60% rating with Heritage Foundation or whoever is rating their voting record based on conservative values, that means that they have been stabbing the conservative Americans in the back 30% of the time. That's not good, because when you stab me in the back 30% of the time, I'm probably going to rebel in some way, form, or fashion. I know you can't win them all, but the way the political game is played, that's what happens. They will protect their voting record as best they can until it gets down to the nitty-gritty, and when it really, really counts, they will sell you out. Now, if Marsha Blackburn, I didn't hear or see any of what you're talking about, if she did a good job, then I'm gonna stomp my feet and whistle and say, you go, girl. But she had best keep it up and not start going back the other way.
Brother Kurt, let me just interject here real quickly on that. And that observation may be because of the two Democrats that she was speaking in opposition of that were on the show. So you know what I'm saying by that.
Yeah, well, okay, yeah. But, you know, the problem is, you know, see, Congress as a whole, Congress could have already done a lot more than what they have done. I'll address one particular congressman from the state of Tennessee who I had personal contact with in this situation. That's Stephen Fincher from the 8th District. I campaigned for Stephen Fincher. I worked hard for him. I hauled a Fincher sign around in the back of my truck for several months campaigning because I believed in him. I thought he was going to do what he said he was going to do. I thought he stood for what he said he stood for. At that point in time, I didn't know enough about the people who brought him into the ball game and the people who were backing him. On two different occasions, Congressman Fincher sat across the table from me and 19 other people in a room in Jackson, Tennessee. First occasion, he said, I will never vote to raise the debt ceiling. The next time he came back, the same question was brought up. He slammed his fist on the table and said, I will never vote to raise the debt ceiling. He did. That's just one episode of congressperson failure. Republican, that was a Freudian slip there if I ever heard one.
No, it wasn't because, Kurt, I was about to call you Bing. Some of these Republicans are acting like Democrats. I mean, take John McCain, for example. I mean, it's an easy Freudian slip to make. I was having a conversation with somebody on Facebook this morning that supports Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst. And, you know, I hear what you're saying because it seems like we in the grassroots, when we're supporting individuals that are going to go up there and do what they say they're going to do, like Ted Cruz and Mike Lee have done, or Louie Gohmert, also from Texas, or Joe Carr. We know Joe Carr will go up there and fight the battle. And or, you know, here locally in our state house, was blessed to be able to go to Tarrant County Eagle Forum. I follow Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly's Eagle Forum, in their state and local chapters. And I got to see the five Republicans that we put in down to Austin, you know, and Gio Capriglione, from House District 91, was talking about, you know, I didn't understand being whipped until I got down to Austin. these people, the so-called leaders of our party, either at the state level or at the federal level, they whip these young people. I mean, to stand in opposition of Mr. Mitch McConnell, if you're Ted Cruz, I mean, my God.
On the subject of McCain, Michael, I want to tell you something. I had to run to the closet and dig around and find my tinfoil hat here, brother. I think that what really happened, you know, and Senator McCain was at one time an American warrior, and he served his country well. But I would not be at all surprised if we found out that the North Koreans, I'm sorry, not Koreans, Vietnamese, who were working under the whole umbrella of communism, they knew how to do some really, really sneaky tricks. I think that they somehow play subliminal. That's not the word I'm looking for. There's another word, and it won't come to me. When you post-hypnotic suggestion gets closer to the area that I'm speaking of here in a psychological warfare. Bottom line, I think that the North Vietnamese did something to Senator McCain's brain while he had him up there, because he is showing signs now of complete patriotic crashing. I mean, he's breaking down.
He is
bordering on being a traitor to the United States of America.
I think we're witnessing, Kurt, and look, I would be the last to speak. I'm very reserved when it comes to speaking out against my band of brothers. I recently posted something on Facebook and on Twitter about Senator McCain. I've been very reserved in my comments about him, other than I don't appreciate what he's doing insofar as his Senate leadership. But let's just be honest. I finally had to break down and say it a few weeks ago. Senator McCain, yes, he served. He was a POW at the Hanoi Hilton. I honor and respect his service. I don't want anyone to think that I don't. However, you know, let's just be honest. Senator McCain, as a service member, only attained the rank and the significance he did because both his father and his grandfather were admirals. And from everything I understand behind the scenes from fellow vets that served during Senator McCain's tenure, he really was not that good of a service member. But I digress. I understand where you're going. And you know what? This sounds like what you're trying to say, that I guess the best way to put an analogy to it is you've seen the movie The Manchurian Candidate.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're exactly right. You know, we've got a Manchurian candidate in Senator Cruz, and Senator, that wasn't a Freudian slip. I had Senator Cruz on the mind, and Senator McCain, and we're seeing the complete total meltdown of an individual is all I can really say about it, Kurt.
Was, you know, every person who ever betrayed the United States of America, to the best of my knowledge, was at one time in the camp of patriots. That when they sell out, you know, you can serve long and well, for which there is cause for merit, shall we say. But if you betray your country, if you betray your fellow Americans, that betrayal wipes out. It wipes the slate clean, is what I'm trying to say. It doesn't undo the good that you did in the past, but it certainly negates it.
Yeah, indeed it does.
When you have stabbed me in the back, I'm stabbed forever. It's that simple.
Well, Kurt, we're coming up against a soft break here. I want to get more thoughts from you. We've got, I think, Brother Ron on, and I think Brother Bing has called in. And I've got an article I want to read from Breitbart that talks about real leadership in support of Senator Cruz. And because I think this is what we need to talk about today. We've got a battle this week, Kurt. I think you agree. We've got a battle. If this entitlement is allowed to be funded, Kurt, can, in your lifetime, with all that you know, with all that you've lived through, have you ever known an entitlement to go away once it's been given?
No.
Well, neither have I. Let's just take this quick break and we'll be right back. Okay, brother?
Okay.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo. Smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on. Smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah. Maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby. I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of a dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No big, joyful smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
With your host, Michael B., here on the Conservative Nation Media, Inc. radio stations. We are, you can find us at conservativenationmedia.com, conservativenationradio.org. We are the mouthpiece for our good friends over at traditionalamericanmovement.com, several of whom we've got on the phone with us today. The time is about 49 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. That is 718-305-7176. A little bit of housekeeping here real quick. You can find me at both of my Twitter handles, at @CNMHost_Michael. That's at symbol C as in conservative, N as in nation, M as in media, host_Michael, as well as at CNR Show, which is our network Twitter account. We're very active on Twitter. We do put out lots of information. So if you like getting that every minute update, I would suggest you follow CNN at CNR Show. And then if you just want my glib comments from time to time and my sarcasm and what I do on my own personal Twitter account, which is I like to pick fights with liberals, then follow me at CNM host_Michael. Again, the phone number is 718-305-7176. If you're listening and you're from Texas, I want to give you real quickly before I bring brothers Kurt and Ron back on, and I've got a little editorial from Sarah Palin I want to read. This is my short list for the upcoming primaries, our midterms. Michael's choice for governor is our Attorney General Greg Abbott. There's been no man that has fought and led the way in America that other states have followed. Even our good friends over in the red state of Tennessee have followed the lead of Attorney General Greg Abbott in fighting the perfidious socialism of this White House. So I am choosing and supporting and working for and know Attorney General Greg Abbott, and that is who I'm hoping will be our next governor of the great Lone Star State. For lieutenant governor, and let's just be frank, friends, in Texas, the most powerful man in Texas is not the governor. It's the lieutenant governor. Now, you're probably wondering, why is the lieutenant governor the most powerful man? As insofar as the lieutenant governor's office goes, it's not that powerful. True. But he is the president pro tem of our Senate. And as we witnessed over the summer, Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst does not know how to manage the clock. If not for Lieutenant Governor's failure to manage the clock and not listening to Senator Dan Patrick, Wendy Davis would have never, her filibuster may have happened, but the vote which did pass would have passed and it would have been law, and we would have had no need for three special sessions beyond that. Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst cost the Texas taxpayers money. He's a good man, but Lieutenant Governor has served his time. It simply gets to the point where sometimes it's time for people to go. Just as Kurt and I were talking about, it just gets to be that point. You've outlived your usefulness. It's time to let our generation take the lead. My choice is Senator Dan Patrick. And if you're in Texas, and in particular in Tarrant County, text me at 817-812-6965. Find me on Facebook. Find me on Twitter. I am very proud that this Wednesday I will be hosting a neighborhood caucus, and Senator Dan Patrick will be in attendance. Tarrant County Republicans, voters and donors, and then of course my task was to bring in the grassroots. We'll be out at the lake house on Eagle Mountain Lake, and we'll be hosting Senator Dan Patrick, the next lieutenant governor of Texas. Who's going to replace Attorney General Abbott? It's easy, folks. There's only one man in Texas right now that can fill those shoes and fight with the vigor that we need to fight with for the next 2 years against this current administration, and if we should lose in 2016 and into the future with a Hillary Clinton presidency, we've got to have a strong attorney general. We got to have a man up there who's not going to kowtow and who's going to back off. We need someone like Greg Abbott. There's only one man that can do that, and that's Ken Paxton for attorney general for Texas. Speaking of Wendy Davis, Wendy Davis has got to go. Now, Wendy is probably going to announce that she's running against Lieutenant Governor or against Attorney General Greg Abbott for the governor's mansion. Wendy Davis doesn't stand a chance in hell winning that seat. And even if she decided to rerun for SD10, she doesn't stand a Chinaman's chance in hell there. Now, we've got Mark Shelton, Mr. Skinner, and Connie Burton, all three running in the primary. I know Connie Burton. Connie Burton's a friend of mine. I've known Connie Burton for 2 years. We fought side by side for Ted Cruz. We fought side by side getting him elected into the as Texas senator to replace Kay Bailey Hutchinson. America has found a senator that they can get behind in Ted Cruz. I get messages all the time. Michael, when is Senator Cruz going to be in my neck of the woods? When can I go see him, et cetera, et cetera? And you could I'll answer those questions the best I can. I do have friends inside of Senator Cruz's office that keep me apprised of that. Connie Burton was a field general for Senator Cruz, well, for Ted Cruz before he was senator. ConnieBurton.com. Then we've got in District 115, we've got a current sitting congressman by the last name of Ratliff. He needs to go. He has, at best, a C from Kathy Adams of Texas Eagle Forum. Texas Eagle Forum being a state chapter for Phyllis Schlafly's Eagle Forum. If you're a conservative, you know who Eagle Forum is. I don't have to tell you about them. Matt Rinaldi is who needs to be in District 115. Pete Sessions, the powerful House Rules Committee Chairman in Washington, D.C., the man who went to Ireland during August recess rather than have town halls, the man who's ridiculed Ted Cruz, the man who did not want to defund Obamacare, frankly, a John McCain Jr. Well, my friend Katrina Pearson, another Ted Cruz general, another person I've known for a couple of years, a mentor, a friend, someone here locally in the Metroplex that can and will go to Washington and fight and have her town halls, unlike Pete Sessions. I'm urging you, KatrinaPearson.com, Katrina for Congress. We need to replace Pete Sessions. And finally, for Texas Railroad Commissioner. Now, I know you folks outside of Texas probably don't understand our Railroad Commissioner's position. We're in the we here in Texas, the oil and gas industry is very big to us. This is how we make our living. If we don't have a strong conservative with business knowledge that understands the oil and gas industry, then we lose. We lose billions upon billions of dollars. And especially right now with an administration that's hostile to the fossil fuels industry, we've got to have a strong railroad commissioner. That individual is Wayne Christian. I'm urging you folks, this is the list. We've got Katrina Pearson for District 32, Congressional District 32. We've got Attorney General Greg Abbott for governor. We've got Dan Patrick for lieutenant governor. We've got Ken Paxton for attorney general. We've got Connie Burton for Texas Senate District 10. Matt Rinaldi for House District 115. That's the list. Those are the people I'm supporting. Why am I bringing this up? And Kurt, please, Ron, being standby. We've got Joe Carr in Tennessee. We've got Nancy Mace over in South Carolina. Mia Love in Utah. Why am I bringing this up? Because if you are currently not supporting someone and there's nobody in your House district, your Senate district, your congressional district, your governor's race, your lieutenant governor's race, or your attorney general's race, or if you're in a state like Texas where you have someone, I don't know what you call it in other states, we call it a railroad commissioner that is in charge of your energy policy, then you need to support the folks that your fellow grassroots conservatives are asking support for. Today's $6 Sunday. Go to any one of those websites for any one of those people and contribute $6. I'm begging you. If Texas goes purple or blue, it's not going to be a pretty picture for the country. And I hate to sound braggish. I'm not saying that any of the other states are any less important. But we hold the biggest cache of delegates for the presidency on our side. Texas has got to stay red. If Texas goes purple, and Texas should start voting Democrat in the general election and down ticket races. It's just not going to be a pretty day in America, folks. I'm telling you. But look, I'm up against the hard break. Let's take this real quick. We'll come back out of this and we're going to get some phone calls going. 718-305-7176. This is Soldier of Patriotism. I am your host, Michael B. We'll be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Cool.
Who's asking? I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Stop.
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like. Consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Do you dream that the world will know your name? So tell me your name. Do you care about all the little things or anything at all? I wanna feel all the chemicals inside. I wanna feel if I'm dying, 'cause I don't wanna know if I can be the first.
All right, and this is Soldier of Patriotism. The time is 3 minutes after the top of the hour. You can find us at conservativenationmedia.com or conservativenationradio.org. We are the mouthpiece for traditionalamericanmovement.com. Folks, immediately following this show is my buddy, has done this show with me for a long time. I don't think anyone can dispute the bond that I have with Brother Bing. And Brother Bing, I got you on hot. His new show, American by Design, immediately following this show here on the Conservative Nation Media. Brother Bing, how's it going?
I'm doing good, man. I've got my mics set up a little bit different, so it's like you can hear like everything. And I've got a little kid in the background, but we'll get rid of him. I'll take care of him. But yeah, we're gonna have Joe Carr, and we're gonna have Stephen Crayson, and you know, it's gonna be a great year, Michael. I just gotta tell you, I think it is. I really.
Well,
do.
Brother, aside from your show, which we want to hear about, and you've got two shows under your belt on your own, which are sounding fantastic, and all the good work you're doing there for Joe Carr and for the state of Tennessee. I want to get, look, as my brother, as a fellow host on the Conservative Nation Media, traditionalamericanmovement.com, all of our good friends over there, let's get your input on what the House did, where we're going in the Senate. Did you see Senator Cruz this morning? Did you see Senator Lee this morning? Did you see your Congresswoman, Marsha Blackburn, whom our brother Kurt has spoken about? Did you read the editorial from Palin and Breitbart, which I'm going to bring up here in a few minutes? We've got a battle ahead this week. I need to get that phone number for the Senate switchboard. Folks, being, I think you would agree, folks have to be calling their senators and demanding that at least the Republicans stand united behind Senator Lee and Senator Cruz.
Well, definitely. And the thing is, look, I'm so pissed off, Michael, about McCain coming out there. I'm really actually just pissed off, I guess, about all the senators and all the people that want to attack on our side, on the Republican side, I guess it would be. You know, I'm really not a Republican. I'm independent. But on our side that want to attack the people that want to change, that want to change things.
I want to take issue. I think you're a grassroots conservative.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, I don't.
Yeah,
you know, I don't care.
I
you can call me a terrorist. I don't really care. You know. I mean.
You know, I'm
here for the common good of the country, and the common good of the country is people that are actually out there doing things for the country instead of sitting there tearing down the country. It's very easy to tear down something that somebody else built. Do you know what I mean? It's real easy for me to, you know, take apart something that somebody else built. It took a long time to engineer and navigate and get up to speed. But there's also people out there that just want to, like, I call them Klingons, I guess, you know. They just want to cling on to the next person that wants to talk to them, the next person that wants to give them any kind of attention. I don't give them any attention. I really don't. I know you don't, and... You know, I agree with you as far as the people that you mentioned. And like I said, right here in Tennessee, we got a big battle, this is a major battle going on between Lamar Alexander and Joe Carr. And this is going to be a big battle. It's going to take a lot of money. It's going to take, you know, a lot of time, like the song says, and all that kind of stuff. And we have to get through this. We have to get over this. We have to get Lamar out. And, you know, because what happens in Tennessee, what you said happens in Texas, what happens in Tennessee also happens, there's implications that happen in the rest of the state.
Yeah. Well, in Tennessee and Texas being two of the reddest states. I mean, look, I know you and I are pretty arrogant about where we're from. I guess if you want to call it arrogant, we're proud Tennesseans and Texans. And we're not ashamed to let people know that, you know, as goes the solid South, in particular, a couple of the big states, that's how the country goes. I mean, it's just the bottom line. It doesn't mean that Texas or Tennessee is any better than any other state. It's just the way that it is.
No, it doesn't. But the thing is that, look, when we lose the South, we lose everything. In my opinion, look, the Yankees up north, and God love you. I know that there's people up there that have to live up there and that kind of thing, but the Yankees up there don't understand what's going on down in the South there. And I think that there's some kind of method to the madness. All right, we have to declare ourselves sovereign. We are states. The North, you know, they just let, you know, Chicago, look at them. Okay, look what liberals did to this country. Look at Chicago.
Well, they have stepped all over the 10th Amendment. I mean, we are steadily losing states' rights. When our state rights are gone, we're done.
Well, and that's why I support people like Joe Carr, because, you know, Representative Joe Carr from Tennessee here, and I've talked to him personally on a personal level, I don't know how many times, and the thing is that he actually understands the Constitution. Somebody tried to trick him with a question last week in Chattanooga, and he actually has a Constitution that he wears in his pocket, and he pulled it out and whipped it out, and he looked it up, and he said, "There's no Article 12, Section 1, and then the Constitution." So I can't answer that, you know. So, you know, I mean, this guy here is the real deal, man. And this, I'm telling you, we have to get more Ted Cruz's, like from your state, and Mike Lee's and that kind of thing in power.
They need
we have to get them. They need reinforcement. They need money. Look, it's going to take about $2 million for Joe Carr to defeat Lamar Alexander. And, that, you know, I hate to say that, but the thing is that that's achievable.
Don't hate us. Well, don't hate to say it. See, you and I, and I'm fixing to bring Ron and Kurt on and get them in this conversation, too. You know, and Ron can tell us what's going on down in Georgia, our grassroots buddy down there in Georgia. You know, I mean, I think Saxby's done, but Ron can fill us in a little bit on that. But he's another part of the problem. People don't, and that's why I do these goofy, look, I put a thing, I'm going to try to find it here in just a second when you start ranting again, Bing. Just about.
Well, you ain't heard me ranting yet, brother.
Hey,
I got a rant coming up here.
But, you know, just about how important what it is. Look, people think, I've got family that says, you know, Michael, I don't want to defriend you, but I block your posts because you block so much. I mean, you post so much. On Facebook, Twitter, all the various social media outlets, making phone calls, doing walking, you know, I don't do this because I just necessarily enjoy doing it. I mean, yes, I do enjoy doing it.
Yeah, and Michael, we're not doing this because we're in it for the money either, are we?
No, we're not in it for the money.
You know,
we're not in it.
I'm pulling a Kid Rock on some of these people, man.
You know. You and I and Kurt and Ron, we spend a lot of time vetting our candidates locally. And that's the point that I was trying to make. If someone is not, if you're not supporting someone locally, then, you know, look, how many times have you said to me, well, Joe Carr's a good example. I mean, I don't keep up with Tennessee politics. Zach Boskovich, I got to know these guys after someone brought it to my attention. I went in, I did the vetting, I did what I needed to do, and I got behind these guys because what affects me in District 4 of Tennessee, what happens in District 4 of Tennessee affects me here in District 12 of Texas.
Correct.
That's just the way it is. This is what I posted, Patriots. I need to ask y'all to help me. We all understand freedom has a cost. Our side has not understood that cost until recently. As we fight in the trenches, that we is Kurt Blackwood, we is Bing Fisher, we is Ron Adcox, we is Barbara Mulligan over in North Carolina, we is Brenda Ward up in Illinois, we is me here in Texas. As we fight in the trenches, for folks like Ted Cruz or Joe Carr, or Nancy Mace, or here locally in Texas for Katrina Pearson, Connie Burton, Greg Abbott, Ken Paxton, Dan Patrick, Wayne Christensen, and Mia Love over in Utah, and many other good people, it's our responsibility to creatively find a way to get money to these folks to do our bidding as the republic that we are. The left being, I think you will agree, the left, with the machines of Soros, Obama, and Clinton, will stop at nothing. Our battle is even tougher. And if I was supporting absolutely nobody right now, I can guarantee you every single last red cent I had would be going to Joe Carr. It's just that I'm working on five campaigns here locally. So, you know, I give contribute in other ways that I can because all of my spare dollars. That's what you and I are trying to convey to people. If you can't do a $5 Friday or a $6 Saturday or a Money Bomb Monday to someone locally, then get behind somebody in another state because the ramifications of a Debbie Wasserman Schultz in District 20 of Florida affects Bing in District 4, affects Kurt in his district, me in District 12, so on and so forth. Bing, go ahead and go with that. Well, I want to bring on Ron and Kurt.
Yeah, and the thing is look, Michael, what happens in other states impact us in our states. So the thing is that we have to get behind candidates that actually have a conscience, actually have a soul, and actually have a determination and drive to sit there and get it done. And I just found that person in Joe Carr in my state. So what I'm trying to say is that, look, you might not have a candidate that's running. You might already be sewn up, all right, for next year. But help us out in Tennessee. Go to Carr for Tennessee, C-A-R-R for Tennessee, TN.com. And, you know, donate and you know, the people that you're talking about too. You know, we got serious problems that we got to get addressed, and we're not going to get them addressed if we sit on our asses. We're not going to get them addressed. We got to get up. We got to get up. We got to get up, and we got to get out moving. So.
We had a net loss in the House, a net loss in the Senate, but we made gains in so far as getting people of like-minded thought. But listen, I'm up against a soft break here, being Ron and Kurt. Y'all are all on a hot mic. Let's take this soft break. We're coming out of this soft break, and let's get a report from Ron from Georgia, okay? Guys, hang tight.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm. I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent. In the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
About 18 minutes after the top of the hour, this is Soldier of Patriotism with your host, Michael B., here on the Conservative Nation Media. Thank you, babe, for that. My gorgeous wife just brought me in a glass of water and because I needed some. We've been speaking with our brother from another mother, Bing Fisher, who is doing the show immediately following this one, American by Design, out of Tennessee. I'd like to bring in, oh, by the way, the phone number is 718-305-7176. That is 718-305-7176. Please give us a call if you want your voice to be heard. We've got one more hard break, and then we're going to go into our just let's open it up and chat our butts off. I've got a special song to take us out this afternoon. It's I guess it's an old song. My wife, I discovered it here recently, and being my wife said, Mike, that's an old song. But, man, it's just a beautiful religious rock and roll song. I love it. I like religious rock and roll music. Anyway, let's bring in real quick here. Let's bring in our buddy from Georgia, Ron. How's it going, brother?
It's okay, I guess. I'm so juiced up about what's going on nationally that I can't even think about local stuff. But let me tell you a little bit about what's happening in Catoosa County. The Board of Commissioners and the school board increased our property taxes a month ago, and it's going to end up costing me about $100. And
a month,
so they immediately turn around in the last 2 weeks and decide they're going to spend $60 million to bail out this sorry, no-good hospital that the other counties that this hospital served have refused to help. So they're going to put all $60 million of it in and keep this thing floating. And it just makes you want to beat your head on the wall. The fools all call themselves Republicans, but they get in there and spend like fools and tax like they've got no tomorrow. So that drives me crazy, and you know, and what it is. It's about local politics is everything. So that I ought to be completely juiced about that. But I was watching one of the programs on Fox today, the one that Mike Jarrett, I don't think that's his right name, but Pat Caddell was on there, and I normally love Pat Caddell. You know who I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
He's
an old Democrat that's went conservative.
Yeah, but he might be a conservative in name only. I mean, today he let his liberal leanings out, and him and the host of that show, and there's two other ones on there, were all three seriously laughing at Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and everybody and for coming out and trying to do this thing on Obamacare. They were almost in tears. They were laughing so hard. And they were saying, their point was that, well, the numbers aren't there, so they can't do anything. Well, let me tell you something. The last time I was in a bar fight, the numbers were kind of not on my side either. But that didn't stop me from making my point. And there was a couple of black eyes and knots on heads when I got done. I got my ass whooped, but people knew I was there. And damn it, there's people in our country that if they will know, if understand that we're serious about stopping this stuff, will come out and support us if we'll stand up. We're not going to stand up. We're already laying down. And it kills me.
They're afraid, Ron. They're afraid. That's why they're
attacking. If they're afraid, go home. We don't need them.
Now, Ron, you went to visit Joe Carr in Chattanooga last week.
Yes, sir. That was wonderful. I had a real good time, and it was just like you talked about it. There was somebody who tried to trick him, and he when they asked him that question about Article 12 and Section 1 or whatever it was, he turned his head kind of sideways and thought about it. He said, hang on, let me get something. So he runs over and gets his Constitution out. It takes him, don't take him about 10 or 15 seconds to find out that, this ain't right. There is no Article 12 or whatever it was. And everybody in there was cracking up. And the person that did it wouldn't say that they did it. They wouldn't own up to it.
Oh,
Ron,
that's
pretty funny.
I think what you're trying to say, Ron, is, and I'm in total agreement with you, what we find here, why we find, look, we understand why the Democrats are attacking Mike Lee and Ted Cruz. We get that, okay? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to get that. And, I mean, I know us folks down here in the South, people think we're a little bit, you know, right off the cabbage patch. But what's disheartening, and I think what Ron's trying to say, and I agree with wholeheartedly, is when it's our own side. And, Ron, I think, I don't know, let's get your opinion. I think it's the fact that, or maybe Kirk can speak to it. And but it's the fact that I think that when you've got a Ted Cruz or a Mike Lee or a Rand Paul, let's say we get someone like a Joe Carr up there or Louis Gohmert. I mean, these folks threaten the establishment way of life. Let's face it. When establishment Republicans and Democrats are threatened, they circle the wagons for one another. It's not about being Republican. That's why you've got John McCain circling the wagons with Harry Reid. I mean, that's the only thing I can figure out, is it's that elitist stature. Kurt, maybe you can elaborate on that. It's the elitism. They're circling the wagons around what makes them comfortable. Forget whether or not they're Democrat. It has nothing to do with party affiliation. We get the lip service. But when you get someone up there like a Ted Cruz, someone who goes up there and actually does what he promised he was going to do, and look, I don't even put Ted Cruz in the rank of Republican. I mean, the guy is a constitutional conservative, and that's what he does, and he's pissing off people up there, and they're circling the wagons. Kurt, am I wrong?
No, you are exactly right, Michael. I'm going to quote two different incidents that I remember from times back in my life that will, if anyone doesn't already know this, they will want to be. Someone, a writer for, I believe it was the Des Moines Register many years ago when I lived in Davenport, made this statement. He said, if ego were a substance, when you walk down the street in Washington, D.C., you could just reach out and grab handfuls of it. To back that up, I'm going to tell you another brief story a friend of mine, this is a direct quote. I'm not going to tell you what his job description was, but he worked in D.C. He had a high-level job, and he's retired, and well, he's retired. That's all I'm going to say about that. He said that among his friends and crowd that he hung out with, they developed this saying up there in D.C. He said, when a new politician comes to Washington D.C., a lot of them will come up there. They're good guys. They're on the right side. They're on the right track when they start out. But he said, after about 6 months, they catch something. He said, we call it Potomac fever. And let that sink in for just a second. You know, he said, we call it Potomac fever. And 19 out of 20 catch it when they get to D.C. They were one thing when they got there. Before it's over, there's something else. If we don't send some people to D.C. that can withstand that, which is what we're seeing now, obviously, Lamar Alexander has been an establishment for a long, long time. It didn't take Bob Corker very long to turn into an establishment. And there are others. You know their names. There's no need of me calling their names. But, yeah, that's what we got. There's something in the air. There's something in the water in Washington, D.C. And it's made out of paper, and it's green is what it boils down to. So there you go. It's about money and power. A lust for both of those. That's what happens to them.
Well, you know, we've got, guys, we've got two fights, Ron, Bing, and Kurt. Yeah. Aside from the vote on the CR this week in the Senate, we've also got the budget ceiling battle ahead this week. Look, let's be honest. The continuing resolution, what's important about the, in my eyes, and I want you guys' opinion on this, what's important about the continuing resolution is we're probably going to lose that battle, but it's the larger picture. We're going to force these Democrats in the Senate to have to step up and say, no, I'm either not willing to fund the government if it means we can't fund Obamacare. Now, there's enough Democrats in the West, you know, states like Wyoming and whatnot that are vulnerable. That this is not going to sit too well with their constituency. We're really in the best of both worlds, regardless of what the Karl Roves of our party want to say. I'm so freaking tired of Karl Rove, I could just, well, I don't want to say what I want to do, but I'm sick of them. I'm sick of this man. I'm sick of the neoconservatives. But we've got that battle as well, the debt ceiling. Are we going to raise the debt ceiling? I mean, I am getting so tired of being painted into the corner about, well, if you don't do this, you know, that's what the Democrats on the Sunday morning shows were talking about this morning. We're going to hold Obamacare hostage or shut down the government. No, we're not going to hold Obamacare hostage. We voted in the House to fund the people's house, I might add. We voted to fund the government. If you don't want to defund Obamacare and shut down the government, it's on you. Now, and then aside from that, we've got the issue of the debt ceiling. And these people are wanting to raise the debt ceiling yet again. Well, where does it end? Where does fiscal responsibility? We've seen what it does to Greece. We've seen what it did to Italy. The U.S. Ben Bernanke, here's a piece of news that I didn't put out, which really had me bothered this week, Kurt. Ben Bernanke, just on a whim, decided we're going to continue with quantitative easing. We're going to continue to add zeros to the books to the tune of $85 billion a month. This is RICO. This people went to jail for fixing the books.
Well, QE4, QE1, QE2, QE4, QE4, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I mean, how many of these quantitative easings do we need? And the thing is that, look, this is the way I look at it, as far as what you were talking about earlier. Today in history, President Lincoln issued a proclamation calling for all slaves within the rebel states to be freed on January 1st. And we're at this point in history, I don't know if we're any different than what we were back then.
I don't think we are, brother. I think we're shackled.
No, because we just got different slaves. We shackled different people up.
Go ahead, brother.
No, you know, and look, all these people that want to sit there and get on the radio or get on Fox News or get on CNN or whatever, we've got people out there calling Ted Cruz a liar, calling out, you know, death threats against his family. Where's the prosecution there? Where's the prosecution?
Alan Brower, oh, my God. Look, we're up against the hard break here. Let's take a break real quick. We'll be right back. Yes. Alan Brower was a Democrat communications director from the left coast, from California. But, look, I got to take this hard break real quick. It's the last break of the show, and then we're down to the last 20 minutes being, and then, of course, we're going to talk a little bit about what's coming up on your show. I've got Ron Adcox from the great Peach State, Georgia, and Kurt Blackwood from the great Volunteer State on with me as well today. We're just doing a roundtable show. The phone number is 718-305-7176. With what Bing was just saying, yes, we are all slaves now. We've been enslaved by the plantation of overtaxation. We're all shackled to this government of dependency now, but we'll be right back.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by FeedThePig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
So you're giving up, just like that?
Giving up on what?
I'm getting an inheritance from a distant relative.
Don't you think if there were a billionaire in the family, we'd know about it by now?
Listen to me. We are one phone call away from riding horses on our own private polo ground. One call from christening yachts, having a butler, using summer as a verb.
How do you figure?
Look, everyone's got a rich uncle somewhere. It's statistics. So the best thing you can do is just prepare for the inevitable.
Right. Which is why I thought maybe it would be smart to take control of my finances. You know, start using a budget, get out of debt, set some retirement goals.
Budgets? Debt? You watch your mouth. Retirement shouldn't be a goal for us. It should be a way of life.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on. Or this to the treadmill on your wish list. Or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
One man comes in the name of love. It is about 35 minutes after the top of the hour. We're down to the last segment of the show. This is Soldier of Patriotism. I am your host, Michael B., and I've got three of my good friends on, Ron Adcox from Georgia, Bing Fisher, who follows this show with American by Design, I might add, here on the Conservative Nation Media as well as our buddy and GOP chairman in Henry County there, Tennessee, Kurt Blackwood. Before I bring these guys back on, I just wanted to run down a list of, if you're from Texas, if you're a Texan, ChristianForTexas.com, Wayne Christian for Railroad Commissioner. I urge you to go sign up, get his email, and support Wayne Christian for Railroad Commissioner for Texas. ConnieBurton.com. I can't speak highly enough about Connie. Connie is a personal friend of mine. I've known Connie for 2 years. I love Connie to death. Connie is who needs to win this primary against Mr. Skinner and Dr. Shelton to go up against whomever the Democrat's going to be in Senate District 10. GregAbbott.com. GregAbbott.com. Abbott for governor. If you're a Texan, you know who Greg Abbott is. You know what Greg Abbott has done. I can't urge you enough to support Greg Abbott to move into the governor's mansion. Matt Rinaldi, House District 115, going up against a fellow by the name of Ratliff, who has continuously gets below a C from Eagle Form, from Michael Quinn Sullivan's Texans for Fiscal Responsibility, Matt Rinaldi at MattRinaldi.com. Then we also have Ken Paxton. We have got to have, next to the lieutenant governor, the one of the most powerful men in the state of Texas is our attorney general. KenPaxton.com. There is no other man to fill the shoes of Attorney General Greg Abbott, who will be our next governor. Then we have Katrina Pearson. Folks, I am not a fan of Pete Sessions. We've just been talking about some, I think, what did Kirk call them, establishments. Katrina Pearson for Congress, for U.S. Congress, Texas District 32 to replace Pete Sessions. And finally, the man who I am very proud to be hosting at my family homestead, my mom, Billy Lancaster, and John Whalen Hill. This is the family homestead up on Eagle Mountain Lake, and that is for the Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. I am a Dan Patrick supporter. I have been long before Dan ever even announced he was going to run. Dan Patrick has stood opposed to C-SCOPE, which is the Texas version of Common Core. Dan Patrick is a strong, solid Tea Party grassroots conservative. Dan Patrick manages the clock. If Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst would have listened to Dan Patrick, we wouldn't have went into Special Session 1 and subsequently Special Sessions 2 and 3. DanPatrick.org. I can't urge you enough to support these fine women and men for the various offices that I have suggested. With that being, come on in here, Ron, Kurt, you got open mics. Being, we're about 20 minutes to the top of the hour, and I need 5 minutes to close my show because I've got a special song taking us out today, one that I just discovered. It's a great song that I think if you're a person that believes in God, that you're going to enjoy. But just take some time. Tell us what's going on with American by Design. You've got Joe Carr coming up today. I didn't catch the other feller's name. What we can look
Stephen
for in
Crazy.
The future. Yeah, I mean, I've got some great shows lining up. I've got I've been talking to, you know, Kay Carl and I are good friends. Kay Carl Smith, Frederick Douglass, Republicans president. He's going to be coming on. I've got Kalume Stevens with the Last Civil Rights .org. Who's going to be coming on? I've got Butch Porter from the American Conservative Party that's now doing a sustainability website as well. You know, we all opposed Agenda 21. I've got Christopher Arpson, another grassroots conservative out of Missouri with MoveOnUp.org. I've got some good stuff lined up for Soldier of Patriotism. The floor is yours, my brother.
I'm just saying. I got Joe Carr coming on. I'm going to make like a lambaste, I think, in the beginning. And then, you know, Stephen Crayson is so articulate. Dude, you got, I don't know where I picked that up from. I guess my kid.
My 8-year-old son.
Yeah, but you have to read his book, The Transformation of the American Democratic Republic. It is just it's not an easy read. I'll say that, but it is definitely fun. Or it's packed with a lot of information. Okay, and we're going to go through that. And I do have to get on the other network over there, but
I know you're
Joe
fixing
Carl
to duck out
because
you got
to
get piped up. Throw your link into the chat room, and if you would for me, please, sir. I'll be tuned in. I'll be driving. I do look, Bing. I don't know if you got the chance to listen to my guests last week, Sam Thurman, Clifton Stewart, and Miss Lopez. Some friends of Olivia Hodges, a friend of ours, who does a Just Cause, which is a judicial advocacy group with a conservative slant. And I have a during your show, I'll tune in for a little bit. I'll call in and have you part me. But I do, Duke and I do have a meeting with them tonight. New show coming on board. It's a judicial advocacy group that's going to be doing a weekly show talking about judicial advocacy. I'm real excited about the possibilities with this.
Oh, great. Yeah, Matt's doing a very good job, too, with his Second Amendment form over there. So
oh, yeah.
I want to say that. And Dave, I mean, look, you know, we got a lot of good stuff on here. You're not going to find a lot of the stuff that you get on Blog Talk Radio that you will in the mainstream media. And that's a problem. That's a very big time problem that we got.
Well, that's why it's taken off like it is. But, brother, look, I know you got to duck out. You're 20 minutes out from the start of your show. You're about to fire up in 5 minutes. If you'll throw the link in, break a leg. Thanks for joining me today. It was great to talk to you, brother. It's been a couple of weeks, I know. My bad. It's just been busy as hell. You've been busy as hell. We're all busy as hell. We're right in the middle of midterms. So it's just everybody right now. It's everything's on cruise control because we've got states to win. We've got a Congress at the federal level that we need to send reinforcements to. We've got to get Joe Carr in there. We've got to get reinforcements in the Senate. So thank you very much today. Just finish up with
I just want to say let's put the car on cruise control. How's that?
There you go, brother. There you go. Thanks a lot, Bing, for joining us today. I'll talk to you later, my brother. Ron.
Thank you. We'll
see
you later.
Here, let's get some closing thoughts from you, from Georgia. Who do we need to be following, if anybody that you can think of off the top of your head? If not, that's fine. We'll send some stuff your way so you can get folks in Georgia to help us. Well, I know that you're already helping up in Tennessee, but we could always use it here in Texas as well. What can we do to help you, Ron, there in Georgia?
I'm not sure about anything local. We just got to step up and show the county commissioners that they're not up there to do what they want to do. They got to be up there to do what we want to do, or they're going to go home. And I've got to stand up. This is crazy. We let them run away. We'll be just as bad as everybody else. And you know, I read the other day that our county in Georgia is the reddest of the red counties in the United States. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Catoosa County is the reddest county of the reddest of all of America. There's more conservative Republicans right here than anywhere. And you to get elected, you have to be a Republican. But when you get elected, you go in there and act like a Democrat. Now, what sense does that make?
It makes none, and that's what I think confuses us the most. And I think that's what Brother Kurt was talking about. Whether it's once you cross the Potomac, or once you cross the San Saba on the way to Austin, or the Brazos just south of Waco there, or whatever river it is in Tennessee on the way to Nashville, I don't know. But Brother Kurt, and I'm going to bring him here in just a second, is absolutely right. When you get either to the state capitals or to Washington, D.C., something seems to happen to these folks. I don't know. Or when you cross a certain line there in your county seats, I mean, we all face it, Brother Ron. We all do. I hope and pray to God that Ted Cruz, that I'm never in the position of having to say that Ted Cruz has outlived his usefulness in D.C. I will lose so much faith in everything I've worked so hard for if that day ever comes. I will vote for that man as long as he's up there doing his job. I'm not a term limits guy. I'm a free market guy. But I'm beginning to think we might need term limits, except for the fact that I want to be able to vote for Ted Cruz for the rest of my life, as long as Ted Cruz is doing what Ted Cruz is doing. You know, but what you're saying is, and what Kurt said, is that day going to come? I hope not, Kurt. Kurt, respond to that, Kurt. I mean...
Michael, I'm not certain how to respond to that because I don't know what's coming, not really. But I will tell you this, and I want whoever hears this to take it to heart and pay attention right now. And for people that will download this and hear it later, there's one thing that we desperately need. We need more people engaged in this fight. We need more people who will step up and be loyal to the cause. There are a lot of people across this country who are working very hard right now to try to bring about change. But as it stands right now, there's not enough of us. We need more people. We need people who will contribute to candidates such as Joe Carr, and the ones that you have mentioned down there in Texas. And by the way, we got another state race here in Tennessee that's not in my district, but my area. But Jim Tracy, a state senator, is running for U.S. Congress over there, and I don't know the name, the number of the district. It's the one that Dr. Scott Desjarlais was elected to in Congress. Desjarlais is a Republican, but his candidacy, well, it developed some problems. That's all I can say about it right now. Anybody that happens to be in that area, if Desjarlais is your congressman, investigate Jim Tracy. I perceive Jim Tracy to be a solid fellow. But back to the subject of what we need. We need more people, just plain and simple, people who will get off their ass, get out from behind the television. We have Republicans here who won't come to the Republican Party meetings. We have Tea Party people who won't come to the Tea Party meetings. And we have some Tea Party people who wouldn't come to a Republican and vice versa. There's too many people out there who want everything just exactly their way. They're going to have to learn to, and I'm not going to use the word compromise here, but look for the common ground. This is what we try to do over on TRADAM, Traditional American Movement. There's enough common ground to go around, people. If you'll get on the bandwagon and get in this fight, because without the people, I don't know what the outcome is going to be. So that's it. Just it's time for a remember the Alamo moment, okay? Back to you, Michael.
Indeed it is. Thank you very much, Kurt. Well, folks, we're at the end of the show here, and we're going to let Creed take us out, but, you know, any great and laudable undertaking always requires that you invoke the aid of deity. So today, I'm starting a new tradition. I'm going to end my show with a very good song, and I'm going to end my show by invoking the aid of deity, which I probably should do at the beginning of the show, but I have so much to do at the end of the show that I think God will forgive me as long as I do it at the end of the show. Supreme Architect of the Universe, it is through you that I call upon you to help guide me and move my friends and myself through this midterm election so that we can save this country that we love so much. A country that is built and founded in your name, God, because any great free country has to have a belief in something greater than itself. Without the belief in something greater than ourself, all we're left to believe in is what our leaders whether they be good or not, tell us to believe in. And God, I'm not prepared to do that. I'm prepared to believe in what I believe in because of our Constitution and because of the rights that I was born with, that you gave me when I was born with, not that this country gave me, but that you gave me, God. And I hope that we can make some advancements in the United States Congress, be it in the lower house or the upper house, so that we can get people in there that are going to fight for the rights that you gave us, God. And it's in your name that I pray. Thank you for joining us today, soldiers of patriotism. I will see you next Sunday. Please join Uncle Bean Fisher on his show coming up immediately after this one. This is from Creed. It's called Arms Wide Open.
Well, I just heard the news today. It seems my life is gonna change. I close my eyes, begin to pray, then tears of joy stream down my face. We're
God bless America.